We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
Pedro Leon has been called up. He's going to wear number 4. Doesn't sit well with me.
That's Springer's number, man. That's
Springer's number.
Don't like that.
It's also not in the lineup today. Don't like that. Would have liked to see a little Pedro Leon in the lineup.
I really want to see what he's got. I mean, you hear so much about him, and you hear all these things about, well, he's not in their plans, he isn't in his plans, he's been tearing it up at Sugarland. I just want to see him on a major league level and see what he's got and see how it translates to the show, and hopefully he can do something.
So what do you want the Astros to do in the final 56 minutes ahead of the Major League Baseball trade deadline? 713-780-3776. Francis Romero, who covers baseball for people who employ him to cover baseball, he says the Yankees and the Astros are the teams making a final push for Yandy Diaz. Astros acquired Kikuchi, left-handed starter. They acquired Ferguson from the Yankees earlier today. Lugie, it solidifies the bullpen a bit. I don't think that the Astros are trading for any more pitching. I think they're definitely out of the starters market. I think there is a 10% chance they add a reliever, which is a 90% chance they don't. I think they're done in the pitching staff altogether. Definitely not a starter. If anything, it'd be a reliever. I think that Yandy Diaz is the final piece that the Astros are entertaining. I don't think there's anybody else on the market. I think it's Yandy Diaz or bust for the Astros in the final 55 minutes.
I liked both guys in Tampa, and obviously Paredes went with the Cubs deal. If you could get Yandy Diaz, again, it's going to be probably a steep price. I'm curious as to what they'd have to give up. But if you walk away saying, hey, before the deadline, they needed starting pitching help, they needed relief help, and they needed a bat if they could find some possible way to pull all that off. If they walked away with all three pieces like that and Yandy Diaz was the final piece, I'd probably feel a whole hell of a lot better about the deadline.
I, too, wonder the price because it has been every trade we see, it's, oh, my goodness, they gave that up. Oh, my goodness, they gave that up. Now, the price doesn't seem to be as great for hitting as it is for pitching. So I do wonder what the deal looks like. That said, I think that Yandy Diaz helps the Astros quite a bit. Yep. There's a very real chance that Yandy Diaz would be your everyday first baseman. And then maybe Singleton or Yandy DH sometimes when Yordan's playing left field, et cetera, et cetera. But a very real chance that Yandy Diaz is just your everyday first baseman. Worst case scenario, he's your platoon at first base. But it was a guy last year that was the batting champion in the American League. Doesn't have the numbers this year that he had last year, but still productive. 270 average, 723 OPS. His body of work versus Singleton's body of work, it would be an upgrade.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. I think he'd be a great fit here. And when you think about, again, going back to what the Rays got for a Rosarena, do you have to give up a player to be named later and two prospects? And is that something that you're willing to do? I think the one thing that you have to be mindful of is that obviously you need to kind of start reloading and stockpiling as much pitching. You did that in the draft for in a lot of cases. But I would be curious as to what those prospects and who those prospects might be that a team like the Rays would be interested in, because they are so razor sharp about their ability to evaluate talent and go get what they really want.
Sometimes, too, the Rays, though, can be a little bit outside the box where they will, you know, take players in trades that aren't necessarily like these highly decorated prospects. Now, they're usually right whenever they're doing things. So it's kind of always the fear with the Rays. The Rays have already made like 7 or 8 trades this deadline, too. I would be stunned if Yandy Diaz is a Tampa Bay Ray come 5-0-1, quite honestly. Now, if he's an Astro, what is the price? I think that's something that we would be concerned about. But I would like his addition to the lineup. Junior Bronco said it would have to be Bryce Matthews for Yandy. King of Twitch says if Bryce Matthews gets traded, he'll be ticked off.
I would be ticked off as well, because that's one guy I think that, in my opinion, was a guy that would be untradeable that they didn't want to move. And I understand that. But I think that, you know, from a Yandy Diaz perspective, because he is such a good fit, you know, what are you willing to give up, and what do you think makes sense for you? Because I think he factors into the long term, the bigger picture. He could be your first baseman next year. He could be a guy that, you know, regardless of who stays and who goes, could be an upgrade at first base, which you need no matter what. And John Singleton hasn't been bad,
no,
but I think he'd be far better.
Yeah, and you could also, I don't like this idea, but you could play both Yandy Diaz and John Singleton if you're willing to use Yordan in left field. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not an everyday thing, but maybe you go half the time Yordan's playing left field in half the games that, you know, Singleton and Yandy both get in the lineup. Now, usually Espada likes to use Yiner in the DH spot whenever he's not catching. But just because you acquire Yandy Diaz, I don't think is the death blow for John Singleton.
No.
I think there's ways you could utilize both.
No, and I like the fact that, you know, when Yiner's – look, what Yiner's been doing lately in his productivity offensively with the multi-hit games and the big hits and some of the things coming back, if you're going to play him at DH and play Yordan in left field, I'm fine with that. I think that Yandy Diaz would fit right in with all of that. The thing that scares me the most, Jeremy, about the fact that it's the two teams remaining is the fact that Yankees normally have a lot more to give than the Astros are willing to give. So regardless of who wins out, the price is probably going to be even higher because they're going to throw a ton of prospects at them.
Yankees have, under Cashman recently, have been pretty conservative with the exception of Soto. So I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know where the Yankees' best and final will be. I don't know where the Astros will stack up with their best and final.
Well, the interesting thing, too, was is they supposedly were still in on Flaherty. They made the move for Chisholm. They've been talking about whether it be a starting pitcher or Yandy Diaz or, you know, trying to be in a couple of different deals. If they would end up going for another bat or if they would be going for, because they're still trying to figure out their infield. If they would go that direction, or they go starting pitcher, would they do that and then still look at Yandy Diaz? That's a question for me.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Yandy does have club control. He's on the books next year for a luxury tax value of $8 million, but the payroll of $10 million. So you owe him $10, luxury tax of $8 because of the average of the deal. It's an escalator that escalates up. And then he has a club option for $26 at $12 million. So if you do trade for him, you get him the rest of this year, for sure next year, and then you have the decision for $12 million in 2026. Any other names out there that you want the Astros or positions? Do you want the Astros to look at in the next 50 minutes? 2422, what I want the Astros to do in the final hour is get Joey back. Well, that's not happening.
There's a lot of people that were kind of clamoring for another deal. Toronto's not giving him up. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's out there. Anything you want, Brian?
I just want Yandy. I mean, bullpen was on the menu at the start of the day, but obviously they made the deal with the Yankees to acquire another relief arm. So, yeah, it's really just Yandy and move on. I'm definitely not... After seeing what the starting pitcher market is, I still like Tyler Anderson, but I'm not going to be willing to pay the price that I'm guessing the Angels would want, especially after what they gave up for Chattahoochee. So I think I'm passing on the rest of the starting pitchers. They already had the bullpen arm. It's make the move for Yandy Diaz if the Rays are reasonable, and if not, then you go ahead and move on.
Yeah,
I think that's fair, and I think, look, I look at just the small sample size of the last few weeks, but John Singleton has been a hell of a lot better compared to what we've gotten all season long at first base.
He's never going to win a batting title.
No, though. Of course not.
That's not in his bag like it is for Yandy.
Yeah, Yandy might never win one again.
Well, sure. But
Yandy's an improvement.
You would expect his slash line on the average year by year to be much better than John Singleton's.
Yeah, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm
year
not,
by year, sure.
I'm not saying no to Yandy because John Singleton has been serviceable. Now, your desperation for Yandy might have went down because
Singleton's been serviceable. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that he's better than Yandy. What I'm saying is if you just walk away from the deadline and this is all you've done, Singleton still has held his own at first base to be serviceable.
Yeah,
if they walk away at the end of this in 2 hours and this is all they've done, have they drastically improved their team?
Astros?
Yeah.
Not drastically, no.
I mean, I think we all agree they've increased the depth of their starting rotation to get them through the regular season, but as you guys said, I mean, Kikuchi probably is not a postseason starting arm for you, so... I mean, they made some moves, but overall, it's like, eh.
I think they've increased their chances of making the playoffs slightly. I'm not saying that it's like 10% greater. I think it's like 3% greater.
Brandon Graf's has gone up.
Yeah, I think that their odds of making the playoffs go up a little bit, a few percentage points. Nothing, I mean, nothing worth trading those three prospects for.
No, and you also can't compare it to other teams. Like people say, well, the Mariners did more. They had to do more because their offense was awful. And so they were forced to try and kind of get in there and figure out some bats. Plus, they lost Crawford. Plus, they lost J-Rod. So they had a lot more that they probably had to do. The Astros didn't have to do anything other than really focus on starting pitching one and if you could get a bullpen arm. But, yeah, if you could add Yandy Diaz, I'd feel a hell of a lot better about this deadline.
Most of the outfield bats that I was intrigued by have been traded. Like Lane Thomas was a guy I think could help you. I was interested in Tommy Pham. I think that he could help you. I don't love the Astros left field situation. And there's also a big hole with the fact that Kyle Tucker's not playing. Now you assume he's going to come back, et cetera, et cetera. And if we're looking at the Astros nine, once Tucker comes back, like, okay. But I don't love their left field situation. Chaz McCormick has been awful this year. Who knows what Pedro Leon's going to be? Joey Loperfido had better AAA numbers than Pedro Leon did. I'm hopeful that Pedro Leon's good because you really have no other choice. Mauricio Dubon's offense has cooled down, and he probably doesn't have enough slug to be like an average to above average outfielder offensively. So I still think that left field's a pretty sizable hole for them, too.
And this puts the onus on Chaz now that more than ever before, that even if you're having a down year, will the real Chaz McCormick please stand up right now, because this is your opportunity to try and kind of stabilize things and be somewhat close to – try to be who you were a year ago, because you are desperately needed. It's you and Trey Cabbage and like you said, Leon, and we don't know what we're going to get from him. So of the guys that have been there, done that, and done it at a decent level, this is putting a lot of pressure on Chaz that they could really use you right now.
Yeah, yes, I mean, obviously, you want him to perform well. The route that they could go if they don't acquire a left fielder, and I don't like this route, and we went from like a left field platoon of Chaz McCormick and Joey Loperfido, I think we could go to a platoon if the Astros don't acquire a left fielder, which I do think is a long shot at this point. I think the platoon has turned into Chaz McCormick and Victor Caratini, where against lefties, Chaz McCormick's going to play left field, Yiner Diaz will catch, and then against righties, Victor Caratini will catch, Yiner will DH, and then Yordan Alvarez will play left field. Yeah. I think that the platoon there has changed, which, look, that might make you better, because Victor Caratini's been a better offensive player than Joey Loperfido. So if you're getting Caratini more at-bats and you're giving him the Loperfido at-bats, that might increase you a little bit better, too.
Yeah, it does. Your overall offensive production could be increased, you know, in a lot of creative ways with that. Ideally, though, Chaz.
A couple of newsworthy things here. One, the Pirates are trading for Brian De La Cruz, so former Astro is getting moved out of Miami. And this was pointed out by somebody in the chat, but I verified it from the official team Twitter account. Bryce Matthews not in the lineup tonight for the Corpus Christi Hooks. Make of that what you will.
Yeah, I mean, it could mean something. It could mean absolutely nothing.
Right.
Like, if he's involved in trade discussions, why even play him? Even if it's a 25% chance you trade him, like, what's the purpose of playing
right.
him tonight?
You so, run more to lose than to gain if you play him and he ends up getting hurt, especially if you're working on a deal.
Yeah.
But would you be okay if they got Diaz and it cost you Matthews?
I would actually be more okay with that trade than yesterday's trade. I still wouldn't feel very good about it, but yeah, I'd be okay-ish with it.
It would be. I think it's tough because of the fact that he is basically one of the best prospects you have left after all this. But at least you're getting a guy with some control that has done some things in the past that leads you to believe he's got more left in the tank to be better for the major league team for the next couple of years.
Like, I think Matthew, if we look at those four prospects, the three that were traded yesterday, Matthews, I would have Matthews. I like Bloss. I'd have Bloss and Matthews as like my top two guys. Loperfido, Billy's boy, Willie, whatever. But between Yandy and Kikuchi, which of those two do I think would have more of an impact this year? I think it'd be Yandy, even though you're back into the rotations and shambles. Plus, you could have Yandy for up to two more years.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah. All right. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We'll get your thoughts on the trade deadline, anything you want the Astros to do in the next 43 minutes. No Bryce Matthews in the Corpus Christi Hooks lineup. It's going to get nuts over the final 43. You have another one.
I was just playing into the breaking news, though, about Bryce Matthews.
Teased me. I don't
like
that.
Yeah, a little bit of a tease there.
I don't know if any of y'all knew this, but the Astros also played a baseball game yesterday. we'll discuss an hour and 20 minutes into the show. The game yesterday against the Pirates. Tough day to be an Astro fan yesterday. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. 1-2-4-4. If the Astros get Yandy, it'll be the Killer Wise. Jordan, Yiner, Yandy, and you say.
Chad Kikuchi.
Say Kikuchi. We have to change our show to the Killer Wise.
Although that really like it.
Be, we don't have a Y. I have a Y in my name. I forgot that for a second. Someone texted and said McTaggart tweeted, Espada said that Verlander and Garcia are close to being sent on minor league rehab assignments. That's good news. I saw a lot of people fear-mongering the Kikuchi news, like, oh, no, this means that Verlander and Garcia are more seriously injured, so that's good news. Although, if you have Verlander and Garcia back in 30 days, you could have gotten by without trading for Kikuchi's. Now, you know, I mean, insurance for injuries, I get it.
If you're looking for the silver lining of today, Verlander was just supposed to throw a bullpen with guys standing in the box, and instead he threw live batting practice, and it got to the point where they were even reporting on the fact that he sprinted to catch a foul ball.
I saw that. I don't know that
we need all that.
No, I actually like hearing that.
I like throwing live.
I like the information and the intel. I don't want him sprinting to catch a foul ball at the age of 40-something with a neck strain. I don't need you doing that. After you traded three prospects, some like them more than others, for the mid-unit, you didn't need to do that. If you have Verlander coming back in a couple of days.
I just like that he's throwing against hitters and that, you know, and hopefully he can get out on a rehab start or two to get going.
Completely agree. I think that's great news. I don't need him chasing after foul balls, though, as he tries to recover from the catastrophic neck injury that he sustained. Get to that question in a moment. Keith from LA. Hey, did you guys catch the gymnastics team all around finals today? Was it me or did the other girls from the other countries look outmatched versus Team USA? I watched 90% of it. Yes, that's a great observation, Keith from LA.
I think that the thing that it's frustrating, it's also a blessing, is the fact that I don't think the USA put their best performance out there. I thought when you saw them with their sticking their landings and not being able to stick them and bouncing around, and still they ran away with it to the differential that they did. They are head and shoulders way above the rest of the world.
Except for Simone. She's pretty short. Yeah, we don't complain about gold medals around here.
No.
All right, yesterday's game. Trade deadline, obviously the focus, but the Astros game significant yesterday. What are your takeaways from the Astros losing game one to the Pirates?
I hated it. It was like insult to injury after the Kikuchi trade, just because of the fact that when we talked and left here, we were talking about the fact that this was basically being penciled in as a Skeens game, so therefore it was a loss, and yet here they were with a two-run lead right where they were supposed to be. If you can take a lead into the last three innings of the baseball game, you're supposed to win that baseball game, and then Presley gives up the one to tie it, and then Hader gives up the bomb to put it out of reach, and it just was more and more frustrating in the fact that that's the way the night ended on top of the way the trade went with Kikuchi. So very frustrating to me because that was a very winnable game. The fact that they were able to kind of claw and scratch a couple of runs against Skeens was really good to see. And I was feeling really good for about seven innings.
Yeah. I'll get right back to that timeout.
Okay.
Francis Romero, again, who covers Major League Baseball, for somebody who pays him to cover Major League Baseball, says the Pirates and Astros are working on a deal.
Okay.
What? What could this possibly
be? Who
would they have that would make sense?
I don't know. It wouldn't be an. I think
it's
that the Astros are out on arms. I don't think that the Pirates would trade Brian Reynolds.
No.
Michael Taylor sure looked good last night.
Michael Taylor's a guy they liked in the past, but I mean.
Yeah, he plays center.
Yeah, he's a center fielder.
I liked Michael Taylor in the past until Myers has kind of taken over the everyday job.
A really good defensive outfielder.
I mean, I don't think that you're acquiring Taylor to play him in left. Like, he's not a good enough offensive player. Mm-hmm. They're not trade. I mean, they're kind of winning, and they have players who are club control for a while.
They just got De La Cruz, right?
I don't think you're trading for Grandal. Yeah, but they traded for De La Cruz.
Yeah.
You're not trading for Rowdy Tellez, are you?
No.
Tell me you're not trading for Rowdy Tellez.
Could it be someone like Cabrian Hayes?
I don't think so.
Or Connor Joe?
Maybe a utility guy. See, I think the Astros could use a utility guy. That's the other thing. But, like, the outfield, first base, outfield, I think they're done with pitchers. I do think that they could use another utility guy because right now that guy's Aledmys Diaz. I think they've already quit on Aledmys Diaz. They could use a utility guy like Connor Joe. Connor Joe George to the Astros. Although he's more of an outfield type.
You can't get Hayes. Hayes was like one of their top prospects.
Yeah,
and now he hasn't played like it, though.
He hasn't. He's been kind of
disappointed.
Underachieving,
but yeah. I think they still think highly enough of him that I don't think they're going to move
him. The top prospect, quote-unquote, status is now, what, 3-4 years old? I don't think they would hang on to that as a reason not to move him. His OPS is under 600.
It also could not be for a major leaguer. Maybe you're trading Rafael Montero to a team who's desperate for relief pitching, and you're including a prospect, and you get back air. You get back nothing. Hey, we'll give you Rafael Montero because you're desperate for a relief pitcher. We'll throw in a third-tier prospect, and then you give us back a bucket of curveballs. Fine. It could be as minor as that.
Fine. Bye.
And maybe you even pay 70% of Montero's contract. It could be something super minor.
I hope that they don't have to do that last part and pay any of it, but if you can get out from under Montero, I'd be ecstatic.
Yeah, it could be something that bad. Or maybe there's like a bullpen arm that, you know, is in a rental for the Pirates so you can get super cheap that, you know, solidifies your pitching staff. I bet you that's super minor.
Like Aroldis Chapman?
No. No. Johnny Footwedge says Marco Gonzalez, Martin Perez. Could be a bullpen arm. Just a veteran.
When you look at Pirates were one of the teams that were in on Yandy Diaz, and then the price got too high, according to reports, and they were out. So I don't know if the Astros have anything that fills that kind of void, because that's kind of the Astros are in that kind of market too, like you said.
I bet you it's a fringe reliever. I don't think this is a significant trade whatsoever. All right, interrupted that. Taylor Scott was awesome.
Yes.
How about just use Taylor Scott as a starter instead of trading for UC Kikuchi? Kidding. Mostly. But every day, Tay, really good to see that. He's been so big for you.
Kept his pitch count down, was still get striking guys out and just do it dealing. It was fantastic to see. You kind of were hoping with the pitch count. I was like, could they get one more out of him?
Yeah, he and Caleb Ort nearly and should have outdueled Paul Skeens. They were fantastic. I think that the Astros kind of let Skeens off the hook. One was unlucky, like the Bregman home run ball that was just fouled, just missed the foul pole. That would have ended the game. So that was like a little bit unfortunate. But the Astros also didn't tack on when they had opportunities to tack on. They were running into outs left and right, which drives you crazy. Like, you're running into outs, you're taking yourself out of innings where you could add these insurance runs. The sixth inning, they had runners at first and third, one out. What does Jake Myers do? Double play. Get the run in there. Make it a two-run game. Make it a two-run lead. Ryan Pressly, I guess we have to give Ryan Pressly the benefit of the doubt because he's been really good lately. We love his FIP. That Ryan Pressly, but he didn't seal, you know, he didn't hold the lead yesterday. That's frustrating, even though we have to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's been so good lately. And then Josh Hader gives up the home run to Michael Taylor. Mm-hmm. Josh Hader in safe situations is a different pitcher than Josh Hader in non-safe situations. This year, Hader 2.61 ERA in safe situations and 0.823 whip. Non-safe situations, 4.44 ERA, a whip over one. Oh, it's just a small sample, 2024. No, this is also accurate in his career. Josh Hader, safe situations, has an ERA of 2.14, a whip of 8.82. Non-safe situations, 3.46, a whip over one. Josh Hader's a different pitcher when it's a safe situation versus not.
No, and you look, that's a trend that a lot of people believe has been pretty consistent with a lot of high-leverage pitchers, and if that's the case for Josh Hader, I don't know what to tell you, but you got to figure it out. To me, when you look at where he's missing right over the heart of the plate. I mean, his secondary pitches are not where, control-wise or otherwise, effectiveness-wise, I would like them to be, but my goodness, he just seems to miss right over the middle.
Yes. Yes. And Michael Taylor owns him for some reason.
Like, isn't that weird? Because they were talking about it. I was like, well, Michael Taylor's a horrible hitter. This is going to go Hader's way. He's going to get out of here. And then they started talking about it. I was like, well, it can't happen again. And then before you know it, boom, there you go.
Yeah, that's frustrating that a guy who's never been a good big league hitter just owns Josh Hader for some reason. But yeah, that was a frustrating loss, just kind of wrapped up what was a frustrating day for an Astro fan. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Blaine says they're trading for Skeens, ha ha ha. 0892, trading for Livy Dunn. Yeah, she's still at college eligibility. 8632, Keith says Bednar. I think it's their closer. I don't think that they would be trading him. I like him a lot, and it'd also be super expensive.
Yeah, they're. I don't think they're selling at all. They're trying to do something that Pittsburgh would love to see.
And speaking of that, the Pirates have made a trade, but not with the Houston Astros. They've acquired Isaiah Kiner-Falefa from the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that's a guy I would have liked to have.
Good utility guy.
Would have really liked to have Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Would have loved that. Would have loved that. He's better than Dubon.
He's been solid. I mean, we've seen him enough of him with the Yankees and the Rangers to where he could do a lot of things to be versatile for. He plays multiple positions. I wouldn't have minded it.
He can play every position. And he's a better hitter than Dubon. I would have really liked them picking up Kiner Falefa.
He was like that at all. You say that, but he was their emergency catcher, I think, 1 year.
No, he came up as a catcher. No, he was a primary catcher coming
really?
Up. Yeah.
Because I know he can play outfield in every infield position, but I knew that at one time he was the third catcher for the Rangers.
He was their starting catcher for a while.
Huh.
Yeah, he can catch, but also he doesn't do that anymore. The last time he caught in a game was 2019. But he can play every single position on the field. And his bat's better than Dubon. 292 yep. hitter, 758 OPS. I would love to have a Kiner Falefa on my team. I'm bummed out that he went to Pittsburgh. I would have loved to have him in Houston. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We're keeping our eyes and ears on the trade deadline. Anything that goes down, you will know about it immediately. We'll also get to cash them or trash them when we come back. What are you cashing? What are you trashing with the bees? It is the bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash them.
That is so good. But that's exactly right.
Or trash them.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bee.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
We got our eyes on the trade deadline. Nothing has happened since we went to break. 24 minutes left before pencils down. But we will have our eyes on anything that happens during the segment. You'll be first to know. But we will do some cash em or trash ems here. Blankers, what do you got?
First one to me is that as much hype has been all season long, by the end of the regular season, you will not have seen Lance McCullers or Luis Garcia pitch in the big league.
Trash. This year. Trash.
Think we're going to see Garcia?
Trash.
Yeah. I just don't. I just feel
Are you saying pitch at all or just as a starter?
I just don't think they're gonna be pitch for the Astros this year.
If you were to tell me pitch as a starter, I could see.
No, I already have ruled him out as a starter.
Pitch in a big league game.
Yeah, I just don't think he's gonna pitch in a big league game this season.
I'm gonna trash it. I think he makes at least a relief appearance.
I will. You want to wager? How strong do you feel about this cash or trash?
You got to be a little bit. I lost all hope with the way that part of my thinking was after what they gave up. With Kikuchi and everything, too. And I'm just like, and then I know they're making a big deal that he actually threw off the mound today with hitter standing in the box. He's already had one setback. They don't want this to be a big deal. And I have a feeling that we might not see him all year.
Sounds like not so cash and trash.
No, I don't believe he's going to play this year.
But you don't think it that strongly if you don't want to put a little bet on it.
Not necessarily true. I'm doing the segment. It doesn't mean that I've got to put my money behind it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't feel as strong enough to bet on it. No, I think he pitches in a big league game, but you're right to be concerned about setbacks. I mean, he had one. He was bumping 93 today. Luis Garcia was bumping 93. The two gymnasts per country rules, the stupidest rule I've ever heard. I don't know if you noticed this. I get upset about this once every 4 years. I forget about it in those 4 years. And then when I see the Americans that have more than two, that have three, sometimes four gymnasts that are good enough to qualify for the finals in those specific events. But then, you can only have two gymnasts per country in each of the routines because of this stupid Olympic rule. This is the worst thing ever. We're depriving the fans of gymnastics, the greatest Olympians, well, at least the third greatest Olympian that you're going to see in particular events. If you're going to have a limit on this, gymnast per country rule, it should be three. Why should it be three? Because how many people medal? Three. You should allow the countries that have gymnasts that are good enough to qualify for the finals in these specific routines to sweep the medals. It is a crime that you have two gymnasts per country. It's stupid.
I'll cash this simply because of the fact that Suni Lee put on a performance that pushed Jordan Chiles out. And you could see how much it hurt Jordan Chiles. And just like we said, how head and shoulders above everybody else this entire team was, they probably have the three best at the all-around, and only two of them are going to get to compete. And I thought that sucked as well, that this was the heartbreak on top of all the joy of the way the team was performing, that Jordan Chiles got her heart broken by a couple percentage points and she wasn't allowed to compete.
That's what inspired it.
I'm going to cash it, but Jeremy, I think you should actually go further. I don't think there should be any limit at all.
Like, fine by me.
I mean, to me, the Olympics is supposed to be a representation of the best, you know, competing against the best, and to see who wins, see who comes out as the top overall Olympian. Why would we put a limit and put someone theoretically who scored as the eighth best competitor, but they get in because there's a country, you know, a limitation on the athletes from which country? So no, I would throw out all limitations as far as only two gymnasts per country.
So much so too, did you see that? Because the competition's so steep in the United States to represent the country that multiple top NCAA and gymnasts across the country were just going and getting spots on other teams for other countries just so they could compete.
Yeah. So hate it. What do you got, Brian?
I actually think Yusei is going to be more effective down the stretch for the Astros than Ronel Blanco. Now, look, I know that might seem, obviously, it's a hot take. It's a hot take segment, so that's kind of where we're going. But Kikuchi, earlier this season, had a 9-game stretch from early April to late May, which, obviously, that's quite a while ago. But he had a stretch where his ERA was like 2.35. And we've seen Ronel Blanco start to falter. I know not all that is false. Some of it, when you look at his ERA, is the bullpen coming in, giving up runs that get accredited to him. But he's only 6 innings away from his previous high in innings pitched. We've seen the velocity go a little bit down. His effectiveness has gone down. And I just think back to, you know, all the times where the Astros have been able to bring in these arms and get the best out of them. We obviously know it with Charlie Mort. We saw it with Wade Miley. Even the great Garrett Cole, his last season in Pittsburgh, his ERA was over 4. The Astros bring him in to completely revamp him and turn him into a guy that gets $300 million from the Yankees. So I think they could do the same thing for Kikuchi here, and I think he's going to be more effective down the stretch than Ronel Blanco.
I'm going to trash it because I think that Blanco, they're mindful, and you've heard Dana talk about it, and I think Espada's even spoken about the fact that they're going to try and do what they can to kind of make sure that they don't extend him too far and they watch his innings and his pitches. But I just think that as effective as he's been all year, even if he slips a little bit, I don't think he's going to slip that much. I hope you're right. I hope Kikuchi pitches his tail off, but I hope it's not at the expense of Blanco either. And if I had to bet on one or the other, I'll take Blanco.
Kikuchi's the reason that Kikuchi's not going to be better than Blanco. Kikuchi's going to take the stress off of Ronel Blanco. No, I'm trashing this. The three pitchers that you mentioned, by the way, Morton, Miley, Cole, who is their pitching coach?
Not someone on the staff right now. It is a valid point.
Yeah, Stromy. Let me remind you of Kikuchi splits by month, by the way. April, March, 294, May, 362 ERA, June, 626, July, 659. Talking about a guy who's regressed, it's Yusei Kikuchi, the mid unit. Also, you want to know the career numbers of Yusei Kikuchi, the mid-unit, whenever he's pitching at Minute Maid Park?
Oh, please.
14 games started in his career. Junior Broncos sent me this earlier. An ERA of 6. 1-5 record, ERA of 6, 14 starts. He's a strikeout guy, right? You know his strikeout numbers at Minute Maid? 55 Ks in 66 innings. That said, the Astros don't strike out a lot over the career, and Kikuchi's faced him 14 times. One other thing that concerns me, though, about Kikuchi... Lefty, righties tee off on him. I think 12 of his 15 home runs are against right-handed hitters. What's it? What's at Minute Maid Park?
The box.
How far is it to the boxes in left?
3 and change. Light change.
315? 315 for the mid unit.
There are things to work on for sure. But
no.
As we talked about earlier in the show, you expect him to start throwing more changeups, start to nibble a little bit more. And we've heard from Espada and Dana Brown talking about changes they want to make to his repertoire, or the sequencing, or something like that. So this would obviously come with the requisite changes that they're talking about.
Yeah.
But I think there's a chance. I mean, his xERA is below 4. It's not great. I think it's 390 something.
Like 398.
But I think there's a chance here for him to follow the path of a Wade Miley to Charlie Martin.
Key from L.A., cash or trash. Brandon T. didn't make his T-ball team as a kid. It's redundant.
He's hating. Was that from yesterday still?
Well, yeah, I think it's...
Yeah, it's carried on.
Carried on to today. Yeah. I'm trashing this. I think Brandon T. did make his T-ball team. It's in the name. His name's Brandon T.
Trash.
Why do you think his name's Brandon T.? Brandon T. Ball. He was a ringer on his T-ball team. That's why the T's carried over. What did he...
The Orioles with another splashy move. They are finalizing a deal to acquire Eloy Jimenez from the Chicago White Sox.
Okay, big bat. I'm surprised by that.
They're in go-for-it mode in the American League.
I don't know how I feel about the breaking news when it's not the Astros. I'm disappointed when it's not the Astros.
I am
Are
too.
You?
I am too, yes, because I'm kind of holding my breath that there's a really solid move yet to be made.
Yeah, I feel a little bit...
Now I'm just going to play anytime there's a rumor.
It's like a tease. There's another trade, too, that you didn't play it for. This is a guy who I had my eyes on. Who, Oscar Brazoban.
Nope.
We talked about him on the show.
When?
Whenever we were talking about potential trade targets for the Astros.
We did?
Yeah. I don't recall this.
I don't recall that.
He's on my list. I'll retweet it.
That was the reason why
Oscar
Brazoban.
You may have tweeted it, but I don't know that you mentioned it on the show.
Absolutely.
That name would have resonated.
No, we even had a conversation. You said, is he that guy that came into the game and didn't record an out?
Oh, this was not today. You're talking about
not
a while
today.
Back. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I thought you meant today.
No, it's when we did the wish list a couple weeks ago. No, not today. Not today. Okay. Yeah, Brazoban's going to the Mets. One of the more under-the-radar arms at the deadline.
How about the Mets trying to reconstruct the Astros bullpen of a couple of years ago, getting Stanek and Maton?
Not the worst thing in the world.
No, they can get some outs.
2-4-2-2, I'm going to cash that the Astros don't make it to their 8th straight ALCS. Cash or trash?
Trash.
I'm gonna hold out hope and trash it.
Trash.
I'm going to trash that. I'm doing radio
trash.
In Houston. Like, trash. Trash.
Even if they don't make another move, I still think that they've got enough.
I legit think they're a World Series contender, mm-hmm. even without making a move.
That's what I'm saying. Even if they don't make another move, I still believe it.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Got our eyes and ears. 14 minutes. 14 minutes left ahead of the trade deadline.
Is this like the NBA where if you start the finalization of a move that you can go past the deadline?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do think that is true. What was worse in Houston sports history? The Kikuchi trade or the DeAndre Hopkins trade? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what's bad for a business owner? If you're doing all your human resources and payroll by yourself, if you're worrying about your own benefits administration, your whole onboarding, payroll, HR compliance, if you're doing that stuff by yourself and you're costing yourself the time and the stress, stop doing that. Get in touch with HRMP today, right now. Human Resources and Payroll. It's in the name, HRMP. It's Cougar owned by my colleague. Go Cougs. Chris Fisher over there, good guy too, despite his college affiliation. Business owners, let HRMP help you, whether it's the HR compliance we talked about, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, whatever. HRMP is going to help you in any or all of those areas. That way you can spend that time. All this stuff's a big time suck. Stop wasting your time and start spending your time in the things you like to do within your business, growing your business. Let HRMP help you. And there's no boxes with HRMP. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HRMP completely customizes a plan for whatever you need. You need help with only payroll. Okay, well, they got you. They'll cover that. Only onboarding. They'll cover you there. All of those things. They got you. You have a problem or an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate or a lot off your plate. HRMP will find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. Technology's fantastic. It's the best in the business. But you're going to fall in love with their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You will always talk to someone who knows your business needs. Give them a call, 281-880-6525, and let HRMP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net. The mid-unit. I wonder when the mid-unit makes his Astro debut. My guess is that the mid-unit makes his debut on Friday. Things when we see the mid-unit for the first time in an Astro uniform.
I think that's probably right. This weekend. Yeah. Sometime this weekend, but yeah, probably as soon as Friday.
Mark Finesand, who gets paid to cover baseball for people who pay him to cover Major League Baseball. I'm pretty sure he's based out of Tampa, though. He says, never say never until the deadline is passed, but it appears the Rays will not be trading Yandy Diaz today, per sources. Hmm. Now, that might be leaked by the team to try to get somebody to up the ante in the final 10 minutes.
Very good call.
Train
poker. You're right.
So we'll see if anything happens here. 9 minutes left before the deadline passes and pencils down. Astros made a big trade yesterday, maybe the big trade that they're going to be making ahead of the deadline, sending three prospects, Joey Loperfido, Jake Bloss, and Willie Wagner, Billy's boy, for Yusei Kikuchi, the mid-unit for the Toronto Blue Jays. Some people were saying this is one of the worst trades in Houston sports history. I've seen it be compared by some to the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I've seen Dana Brown be called Dana O'Brien. Mm-hmm. What's the worst trade between these two? Is it the trade that we saw yesterday, the Kikuchi trade, or is it the DeAndre Hopkins trade?
Oh, to me, it's hands down, it's the DeAndre Hopkins trade, because you were sitting there on one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in all of the game at a time when your team had lost the playoff game to Kansas City, but looked like they were in a good position to be even better the following season. And it's not only the fact that you dumped out on a guy, whether you believe it's his practice habits or his baby mamas or all the things you've heard and O'Brien has said, but the fact is you dumped out on him is one thing, and then what you got in return, led by a injured and never to be the same David Johnson and a second round pick. Instead, later when Diggs was traded, got a first round pick out of the deal from Minnesota. It got worse and worse. I just think the DeAndre Hopkins trade is one of the worst trades in the history of Houston sports franchises, and that one I think trumps this one easily.
Yeah, I think it's a little insulting to even put the Yusei Kikuchi trade in the same conversation with the DeAndre Hopkins trades. And I've seen some people do it. It's definitely prisoner of the moment. Like, you traded the second best wide receiver in franchise history, who is still playing at a high level and is still currently playing at a high level, for a second-round pick in David Johnson, who is way past his prime, versus what you gave up here. Like, you gave up three guys you're not even sure are going to have big-league success. Jake Bloss has made three big-league starts and has been poor. Now, I still think Jake Bloss is going to be a back-of-the-rotation starter, but back-of-the-rotation starter is not one of the best players at his position. Joey Loperfido might be Joey Gallo light, quite frankly. The strikeout rate is way up there. Doesn't play center. He's a corner outfielder. I've seen him be projected as a fourth, fifth outfielder at the big league level. Willie Wagner might not have a position, and he might be too light hitting to play first base at the big league level, and he might not be good enough defensively to play second. They've already moved him to the right side of the infield. People are like, oh, he's the third baseman of the future. He's played like seven games at third base this year. So, no, the Kikuchi trade isn't even in the same ballpark. It's not even in the same time zone. It's not even in the same state or country of the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Absolutely not.
And it's funny, to your point about him being moved to the right side, is the fact that at the start of the year, if the contemplation was who was going to replace Alex Bregman if he leaves at the end of the season, at the start of the season it was, well, Will Wagner is going to be poised to play that. He's going to play third base. He's going to be the guy. And in no time at all, he was moved to the right side.
Yeah.
And that took that out of play.
He hasn't played much third base this year, and maybe the Blue Jays changed that. I kind of doubt it. I just don't think he's a left side of the infield defensive player. I don't really even think he's a second baseman. I think he's a little bit of a butcher defensively. He's played eight games at third base this year. That's the only games that he's played outside of the right side of the infield. 33 games at first, 21 games at second base. And he can swing it. Like, he can swing it. Doesn't have much power. More of a contact guy. And, you know, you're going to play a, you know, light power, high contact guy at first base.
Whitcomb kind of took, at the start of the year, Whitcomb was well behind Will Wagner in terms of what they thought and what they were trying to do. And Whitcomb's had such a great year, too, that he's got a lot more pop, to where he's kind of jumped over Wagner. It probably made him more expendable.
Maybe so. Whitcomb's played a lot short. I think he's kind of a different profile as Wagner. But I like Whitcomb.
Played first base a lot, hasn't he?
Well, I thought you meant third base.
No, he's played first base, and he was also playing some third base, did he not?
I think he's played a couple of games at third, 26 games at third. He hasn't played any first.
Okay. I thought when we were there that night, I thought for some reason I thought he played.
He was playing left that night.
I believe Garrett has told us he could play third, short, or second.
I think if you can play third and short, you can play first. You just need reps.
I do too, but that's going off of what Garrett Green told us, the Sugarland Space Cowboys voice. He told us when he joined us last week, Wickham could play third, short, and second.
Junior Bronco says Astros like DeZinzo more than Wagner, obviously. Yeah, I think that's true. Plus, he plays third, and Wagner does not. They've given up on the whole Wagner at third base this year. King of Twitch, this is the dumbest comparison I've ever heard. Not on y'all. I've seen it on the interwebs. I agree. I think it's – I don't like the trade yesterday at all. At all. It's not in the same conversation as the DeAndre Hopkins trade. 713-780-3770.
Not involving the Houston Astros, the Los Angeles Dodgers have acquired – Joel's boy, Jack Flaherty.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Wow.
They just acquired Kevin Kiermaier, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing to me was, I was thinking about it, because yesterday I thought the Dodgers were hot and heavy on Crochet, and then he had all these, he needs an extension before he's going to pitch this many innings or do this many things, and then people cooled on him.
Yeah, but there is a note from Rosenthal that Garrett Crochet will not be traded.
So Crochet and Scooble were the hot names if they were going to be the biggest to get anything back from. And then Crochet kind of screwed the White Sox by putting all that into play to where they basically weren't going to get the haul they thought they were going to get. But I don't think they should have traded him in the first place. But The fact that the Dodgers didn't get him made me happy. Now it kind of makes me upset that they get a guy like Flaherty, who I wanted all along.
Yeah, let's see what the return is on that Flaherty thing. I think that's going to be interesting. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Chip, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Chip?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, so I was going to talk on the DeAndre Hopkins comparison. I think you guys probably already hit on it, but it's not close. The DeAndre Hopkins trade was considerably worse just because, one, was it, I think the DeAndre Hopkins trade was just made out of hate for the guy, where there was no research that came until we were getting a running back that had just come off an injury. He was already past the 5-year expiration date on a running back and a second-round pick that, you know, you never know if you're going to give it in. It'd been a complete bust, the defensive tackle that went to Elkins, and then I think TCU. But at least on the side of the Astros, you're losing, you know, an ice-cold hitter in Loperfido who was beat below 200 for the last month. You're losing a pitcher that, you know, is probably in the future a rotation guy, but you need somebody now. And at least you did the research and you got a left-handed guy. You got a guy who could fit somewhere in the fourth or fifth hole as a pitcher rotation. And a guy who misses a lot of bats, and that's something that we didn't have as a left-handed pitcher. And also, when he does hit bats, when he does get hit, it's ground balls. And with our infield, you can kind of expect his numbers to get better than what it was in Seattle and Toronto. So at least the research was done. They gave an effort to make the team better, where I think in the Houston situation, it was just a coach that was tired of the player himself and just trying to spite the player, not actually looking to help the team at all. So at least there was that bit of an effort that went into it. I am kind of bitter about losing Will Wagner, but at least we didn't lose the top of our farm system. You know, the guys like Pedro León and Tenzo that we need to hold on to. So, you know, we were able to find that fourth or fifth possible starter without ruining the team, which is what Bill O'Brien did at the time. So that's all I want to say. I wanted to get you guys thoughts on it. I just thought of Dodgers there too, and I'm kind of sick about that. So I'll let you guys keep talking about that one too.
Thanks, Chip. Appreciate you listening. No. Look, I think when he was talking, I was trying to think of, well, what is the second worst trade in the history of Houston sports?
Curt Schilling for that reliever was pretty bad.
I would say Mike Fiers and Gomez.
Yeah, that's not as bad as trading Schilling.
Yeah, I thought the hater deal was...
No. I mean, not on field. Like, if you want to say like the ramifications of it, et cetera, you know, you probably have an argument there. But from an on the field perspective, the Curt Schilling trade was brutal. The first Elvin Hayes trade, whenever you traded him away for like a guy that you traded away like a year and a half later, that one's really, really poor. You could go back into history and come up with some really, really bad trades. Houston. There's a very good chance that Houston in this trade didn't give up anything of significance. The three prospects that got traded yesterday for Yusei Kikuchi. Now, I don't think that the short-term gain is worth the long-term opportunity cost. And if you look at it from just a war perspective, the three prospects you gave, I think, are going to have a greater war with Toronto than Yusei Kikuchi is going to have for the Astros. But there's a really, really good chance that none of those guys amount to anything of significance. So, no, you can't put this anywhere near. I don't think it's probably top 10 worst trades. No. At least not yet. Maybe Jake Bloss turns into an all-star, and then we're going to have a different conversation. I just don't project him to be an all-star. I project him to be a back-of-the-rotation starter.
It's also when he would become an all-star, too, right? And if it's 2 or 3 years down the road, you're trying to do something right now to stay relevant.
I think the window's in the next 6 years, because that's the club control you would have for Jake Bloss.
Okay, but I'm just saying, if he's 2 to 3 years from being anything in the major leagues, then maybe within the 6 years he could get there.
Yeah, I mean, if you say Kikuchi does absolutely nothing and Bloss is an all-star in 3 years, you lost the trade in a major way. 713-780-3776. Let's see if anything happens at the deadline. We'll tell you on the other side, any chance for Yandy? And what are the holes on this team if the Astros don't do anything else? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.